If you are a father or you're planning on becoming a father, you do not want to miss my next guest. Alec Lace is on the show, and he is a father of four. Now, in 2018, he launched the now popular podcast, First Class Fatherhood, with a vision to change the narrative of fatherhood and family life. Alec Lace, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in to the top-ranked Criminal Justice Evolution podcast. And it's top-ranked because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much. I sure do appreciate it, especially in these trying times I'm going through, but I am strong and I will get through it. Thanks to you, again, the listener and supporter. If you're not subscribed to the show, please do so and give us that 5-star rating on Apple Podcast. We sure would appreciate it. And review. Big shout out to the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you were doing, wherever you're at. Thank you for doing it. Remember this in these very trying times for the country. Remember this. You are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up the fantastic work. Folks, if you love coffee, then you're going to love the products from Four Sigmatic. As you all know, I am a big fan of the Lion's Mane Mushroom Coffee, and I bet you will be too. Head over to cjevolution.com. See the link to Four Sigmatic and get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. Enjoy. In these trying times, uncertain times, it's good to know that a company like Detecticam is helping keep our brave men and women safer. Women and men who protect us every day. This application-based technology from Detecticam is a must-have for your organization. Detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. Check out their link. Check out their link at cjevolution.com. On to Alec Lace. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Very excited to have my next guest on the show. He was on a while ago. I went on his show. His name is Alec Lace. He is the creator of one of the biggest shows out there for fatherhood called First Class Fatherhood. Are you there, brother?
Pat, I'm here. I'm honored to be back. It's nice to see you again here.
Well, good to see you, brother. Now, again, I mean, the show is just exploding. And for the listener out there, you need to check out First Class Fatherhood. Alec doesn't have just regular Joes off the street. He has some people maybe you heard of, Tom Brady on the show, maybe Deion Sanders, Tony Hawk, the guy who capped Bin Laden, Robert O'Neill. And I think last guy you had on the show, brother, what's his name? Oh, Matthew McConaughey. So, all these movers and shakers giving their knowledge and expertise and their experience with being a father, brother. First of all, what made you start this show? What was the catalyst behind it?
Yeah, there's a combination of a couple of things, Pat. First of all, I have four kids myself. My oldest is 14, 13, and then 10 and 6. But my older two, a couple of years ago, were interested in starting a YouTube channel. They were kicking the idea back and forth. So I was trying to tell them, hey, look, guys, this is more than just turning on the phone and fooling around and jumping around. You got to actually work at it. So I tried to shoot some videos with my daughter of her opening packages, or what they call unboxing. So I was trying to learn how to do that, and it was a lot more difficult than I thought. So I was struggling with it, and I started to try to research it, and I discovered what podcasting was, and it was audio only. So that appealed to me. And then I combined that. I drive Uber on the weekends. I'm always hearing these young guys when they say, oh, how many kids do you have? And I tell them I have four. They look at me like I got four heads. They think that's so foreign to them, because they have this idea that becoming a father is going to ruin their life. Family life is something they want to avoid. And I kept hearing the same thing over and over again. So it was really like, man, that's such a terrible message. And I'd love to put a positive spin on it. So I used the opportunity when I found out what podcasting was and that message, put it together. And that's really when I started the show, and I put it out there, and the response was very, very great right from the beginning. So I've been pushing it ever since.
Yeah, it's amazing. I had the honor of meeting you, brother. We were talking about before we started, I think in 2018, down in Miami at a conference. And yeah, you were a couple hundred shows into it. Now, dude, you got what, 430 shows now?
Yeah, 443 today I put out. Yep. Yeah, it's been quite a ride. I've been blessed to have a lot of these great guys, like some of them that you mentioned there. It's been I've been very blessed to have a chance to speak to these guys, and more importantly, to capture, their fatherhood journey, their fatherhood testimony. So it's been beneficial to me, beneficial to the listeners too. So it's been pretty cool.
And I want to talk about the narrative out there. You mentioned, you know, kind of hearing stories, and you still do, about kind of the misconceptions about fatherhood. I want to talk about that a little bit, but, you know, what are some of the when you talk to guests, Alec, I mean, what are some of the reoccurring themes, if there is any, about challenges that your guests have dealt with being a father? It isn't all like, you know, sunshine and happiness and roses all the time, but what are some of the reoccurring themes that you hear fathers are dealing with?
Well, it spans the whole spectrum, Pat. Yeah. I mean, I've had guys on the show that have had to bury their kids. I've had guys that have had their kids be terminally ill, you know, so I've had divorced dads, single dads. There's all kinds, and as you know, as a dad, I mean, listen, there's challenges in it. I go through them, and we're all going, a lot of the times, my oldest is only 14. Like I mentioned, he didn't start dating and driving, and I haven't experienced all that yet. So I always try to pick the brain of these older dads, not older dads, but the dads that have older kids that have been there and done that. I try to ask them a lot of times, hey, especially with their daughters. My daughter's my 6-year-old, and I'm already, you know, dreading them days when that comes. But at least I'm trying to callous, as Goggins would say, I'm trying to callous my mind for when that's going to happen. So I ask these guys, hey, how did you handle it when your daughter started dating? So to hear Navy SEALs or NFL linebackers talking about their young girl starting to date, it's always an interesting aspect. So I love to talk about the challenges and listen to their responses. So it has been, like I said, I learned a lot from the show myself.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, the broad spectrum, you know, divorced fathers, you know, fathers that have lost their kids. I think, yeah. And you made a great point. I think one of the things I dealt with, and again, it was not having a good work life, home balance. You know, when I was a cop for many years, you know, working graveyards a lot. I mean, I wasn't home. And my family life suffered because of that imperfection right there. And so I had to learn the hard way with, you know, those lessons. My kids and I have a great relationship now, but there were some tough times.
Yeah, and I had Kurt Warner. I've had him on the show several times. And one of the things I asked him about was, because he's got 7 kids, you know, so I asked him, you know, how did you deal with being a high level athlete and being able to balance that out? And he said, he gave out some great advice. He said, I learned a long time ago that balance doesn't necessarily mean equal, whereas I can't give 8 hours a day to my wife, 8 hours a day to the job, and 8 hours a day to the kids. But when I'm with my wife, be with my wife. And when I'm with my kids, be with my kids.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, I think we all suffer from this. We'll be at the job and our mind is at home, or we'll be at home and our mind is at the job. And we got to just stay present where we are and focused. And I think we all go through the same thing.
Now, what's the narrative out there? You mentioned it a little bit. You get some people in the backseat of your Uber, you're talking to people, and there's just such a misnomer out there with, it's going to, and you hit it, it's going to destroy your life. It didn't destroy my life. I think it made me a better person. Yeah, there were challenges, but why is there such a narrative out there, brother?
Yeah, there's an attack on the family life. That's the only way I could put it. There's an attack on the family life. There's an attack on masculinity, as we know. There's an attack on just fatherhood in general. And I think we see it portrayed in movies and TV. The single guy, no responsibility, sleeps with multiple women. He's living the life. You know, he always looks luxurious. And then when they show the family guy, he's the guy that's got nothing going on. He's always got his head down between his legs. He's never getting laid. So people are looking at this like, why would I want to be that guy? Like, that sucks. And we see Instagram, Facebook, everyone's a millionaire. Everyone's living this high lifestyle. So it doesn't appeal to the younger generation to want to start a family. They're kind of being deterred from wanting to do it. So I bring on these guys that have just crushed it in life and have accomplished all these tremendous feats, Super Bowl MVPs, SEAL Team 6, whatever it may be. And they say, you know what, despite all these accomplishments, it's been through the experience of fatherhood that's given me a true fulfillment in my life. So that's what I'm really trying to capture, just to show, I think we have this, we've been sold, I forget who calls it, I think it's Denzel Washington, says we have a destination addiction, where we think once we get this, then we're going to be happy and fulfilled. Once we get that, the job, the car, the woman, whatever it may be, we think once we get it, then we're going to have this happiness. But from the guys I've been able to talk to, once you become a father and you have that love with your child, that's where the fulfillment actually comes in. So that's the message I'm trying to get through to the younger guys. It's not something to avoid. It's something to embrace.
Yeah. And it's such a great message, brother. And again, the First Class Fatherhood, if you don't listen to it, subscribe to it, listen to it. Amazing show with, like Alec said, just some amazing people. So if I came to you, brother, and I said, hey, you know, Alec, and I didn't have any kids, which I do, I got 5. And I came to you and I said, hey man, you know, give me some advice. I want to start a family. I want to be a good dad. What are some nuggets of wisdom that you would give me?
Well, first I'd say, make sure you listen to First Class Fatherhood. That'd be the first thing.
Of course.
But no, I do get this when I drive a kids with Uber and I, you know, when they're in the car, I try to tell them, listen, you have to be able to accept that changes are coming into your life. And if you fight against them, it's going to be an uphill battle. Yeah, you've got to roll with it. You've got to be able to be open to change. It's going to change your daily routine, your sleep patterns, your relationship with your wife. Things are going to change. So the more you are able to get comfortable with that change, the better it's going to be for you, the better it's going to be for your wife, and the better it's going to be for your kids. So it's just more of just being able to accept the change more than it is anything else, because it does make an impact on your social life, your work life, your home life. It changes everything. So I think a lot of the Navy SEALs, they say you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I think that applies to fatherhood as well.
Yeah. I remember I had a friend, and this was years ago, who, you know, him and his wife and him were having a baby, and he made it sound like, oh shit, you know, everything's going to be the same. I'm going to still play golf and do whatever I want and go and do whatever. I was like, dude, it's going to change. You know, your life's going to change. I mean, depending on if you want to accept it or you don't accept it and be one of those fathers who are, you know, devoid of their kid's life, which are plenty of those probably. But to your point, I said, you know, your life's going to change, man. And mine changed for the better. And it's a lot of hard work. It's not easy.
Right. And I think just what you said there too, these guys that don't stick around. I mean, we have got a fatherless crisis in the country, Pat, right now. And it's devastating our community. And we see we're trying to have these movements. We're trying to change all these social aspects of our life and fix these social problems. But if we leave this unchecked and we don't strengthen our nuclear family units, we're going around in circles. Nothing is going to change because it's all these, you know, we have it's. And I have to state this too, because I always get hit with this. It's never to take anything away from the single moms that are out there working miracles, because they're holding it down. Yeah. And it's not a knock on them. But still, when you look at it, not all kids that grow up without a father end up homeless or runaways, but 90% of homeless and runaway kids come from a fatherless household. So 75% of kids that drop out of high school come from a fatherless home. So not having a father or father figure in your life is devastating our society. So we definitely need dads to be more engaged. When I was down at the Super Bowl last year, Michael Irvin's Hall of Famer talked about this passionately. I mean, he was practically like spitting at me while he was talking. He was just saying, you know, in the Caucasian community, it's 35% of the kids are growing up without a father figure. In the Hispanic community, it's 51%. And in the African-American community, it's 73% of the kids are growing up without a father in the home. And it's just, it's devastating. And he says too, you know, he doesn't condone divorce, but if you have to get a divorce, divorce your wife, never, ever divorce the kid. And that's really what it is. Men got to step up and he says, stay on your post. You know, you got to stay in the game and stay connected with your kids, because it's not just for your kids' sake. It's for everybody in the community. So I think if we could strengthen our family units, maybe bring some God back into focus, I think those two things alone would really solve a lot of the problems we're seeing in our society.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Michael Irving, African-American father. Why isn't this resonating? I mean, I just don't get it, why this is such a taboo subject, not with everybody, but with a lot of people. And look, I'm all for inclusion and diversity, all that stuff. But I don't know why. I guess I do know deep down why it is, but I just don't understand why this is such a taboo subject. Nuclear family, like you said, and I agree. Kids need their fathers. You know, you gave some stats. I just don't know why this is such a topic that a lot of people try to avoid.
Yeah, and again, it's because there's an attack on the family life. Yep. There's a lot of people that listen. I bring on dads that are Black, white, Muslim, Christian, gay, straight, religious, non-religious. And here's the thing. Every one of them want their kids to be happy, healthy, successful, and kind to other people. They don't want to see their kids hurt, upset, or in trouble. And so we're more alike than we are different. So the media and the powers that be want to drive that stake right through the heart of us and tell us we should be at each other's throats and we should hate the other people. And it's not the case. We're all alike. We're all after the same thing in life here. So I think that's part of the reason why you see it. Anytime people try to point out the fact that, hey, maybe we need to strengthen our family units, it doesn't get the coverage. It doesn't get the clickbait, and it's never talked about. And they try to avoid that. And it's really hurting our community.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought up divorce, because I believe, because I got divorced, you know, I didn't set out. I don't think anybody sets out getting married planning on getting a divorce, but life happens. And I got divorced after 20 years. And I'm glad you brought that up, brother, because I think there are times when you should get divorced because it's doing more damage to the kids. Kids, especially, you know, kids are very perceptive, as you know. And if mom and dad don't have a good relationship or spouses, whatever, and there's distance, kids pick up on that. And my ex-wife and I decided to get divorced, good friends now, but my kids are better off because of that.
Yeah. And one thing I always stipulate too, Pat, I don't run a marriage show. I very rarely talk about marriage on my show because it's not my expertise. I'm not a marriage counselor. And you're right. I agree with you. There's definitely times for people to get divorced and it's beneficial to the kids. My focus is just on that father staying connected with the kid through the process, because that's where the true damage is done. And like I said, I threw a few stats, but if you look at teenage suicide, teenage drug use, teenage pregnancy, all those numbers skyrocket when you have no father in the home. So it's so important to a child's development and the future of their life and the lives of everyone they're going to connect with. So that's why I harp on it.
Yeah. And I can't imagine it. And again, everybody's different, but you know, I can't imagine a father out there. And I know, unfortunately, there's a lot of fathers out there that abandon their kids, and it's a shame.
Too many.
I couldn't imagine doing that to my kids. And again, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I couldn't sleep, man. I couldn't sleep with my, you know, at night, knowing that I don't have a relationship with my daughters or my son. I don't know how these people do it.
And I'll tell you what, some of the most inspirational stories that I do get on the show is when I have a dad that grew up without a father, father that abandoned him, and he's broken the cycle and he's made it his mission to be a better dad. And those are that's what's going to make the change, is the people that can do that. Because sometimes it's just easy to repeat the mistakes that we've seen. So when we have guys that grew up with no dad or a deadbeat dad or a absentee father, and they turn that around and they become a father, that improves the country for everybody right there. So those are the stories that need to be maximized and exposed.
Yeah. And I love, and like I said, your show, I mean, it affects, doesn't matter what you do out there. You know, it doesn't matter what profession you're in. I mean, it just resonates with so many people out there. Let's shift a little bit and talk about your show. And again, for people out there, because I get asked, and maybe you do, Alec, but I get asked, you know, I want to start a show. What advice would you give me? I want to start a podcast. I mean, what advice do you get? I'm sure people talk to you all the time. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, you're pretty big out there and you got a great podcast, top podcast. What advice would you give people who want to start a show?
It's so simple now, Pat. I think the process of it, there's so many different ways to do it. It's easy now that you could just Google how to start a podcast.
Yeah.
It gives you like a step-by-step instruction. I would just say, do a little research and make sure it's a topic that you're passionate about. Like this is something, being a dad and talking to other fathers, I'm very passionate about it. So it's something that I don't have to do too much research. I'm not talking about Bitcoin. You know, I don't know anything about Bitcoin, so I wouldn't start a podcast on Bitcoin. But if that is your passion and you do have something of value to share, then starting a podcast on Bitcoin, you'll find your niche and you'll find an audience. And that's the best thing about it, is that right now everybody can just listen to what they want to. They don't have to listen to what's on TV anymore or what's on the radio. So whatever you're into, if it's baking or if it's cooking or gardening, you're going to find a tribe. Yeah, you're going to find a tribe and an audience. So I would just, you know, just say jump into it like I did. I mean, I was a little nervous about it myself in the beginning. If you go back and listen to my first episode, it's a wreck. And I'm still learning this game, Pat. I'm a railroad mechanic. I've been doing that for 20 years, you know, so I don't have any broadcasting. And I'm right now, what I'm trying to do is develop skills, learn how to become a better interviewer, learn how to become a better listener and learn the game. So there's a lot into it, but the only way to do it is to get started. So definitely start it.
Amazing advice, brother. And you do, like I said, you got a kick-ass show. You're an amazing interviewer. One of the things I get from people is they want to start a show and they want to, you know, they sit back and people have told me this, I want 1 million downloads, or I want to monetize, I want to make a lot of money. And I always tell people, and this is just my opinion, you know, if you want to start a show, and you said it, brother, you got to be passionate about it. You know, I'm not saying money doesn't bring some people passion. I didn't start a show to make gobs of money. Yes, of course, I want to make a dime just like everybody else, but I did it because I was passionate about it. So that's what I tell people. Look, if you're passionate, money's going to flow. Right.
Yeah. I try to tell people too, is that you have to, you know, they'll say, well, why am I going to put in all this time and all these hours if I'm not going to get paid?
It's part of the journey.
Right. And I try to tell them, listen, you don't get paid for time. You get paid for value. right? If you want to get more money, you got to become more valuable. Are you creating something that is valuable to other people? That's what you got to do. If you can create enough value, there'll be money behind it for sure. So as long as you focus on the value part of it, money will come into it eventually. And it's about honing the craft, learning the game. You know, this guy's been doing this for a very long time, and they're still not making big money yet. So there's a process and a journey here to learn. So I would definitely just say, you know, look at the guys that are having success, and they leave some clues behind, and listen and follow along, you know.
Do you ever get nervous, brother? And you probably don't. Well, I don't know. I can't speak for you, obviously. But you had Matthew McConaughey on the show, you know, recently. Great interview, by the way. And, you know, do you ever still get nervous when you get like, I mean, they're all big names coming on your show. Do you like, holy shit, man, Matthew McConaughey, Tom Brady. I'm talking to Tom Brady.
The only one that I honestly ever was nervous was when I interviewed Jocko Willink. I was a little bit like nervous. But it's like, I felt like,
well, he's that intimidating guy, man.
Yeah. Like, I felt like he was going to come right through the phone and choke me out. Like, if I didn't, you know, like, so he has that serious tone about it. Like, he's so tense. But to get him to talk about being a father and his kids, it was an awesome experience for me. So I don't get nervous talking with the people. I'm really, people ask me like a lot of time, who's your favorite interviews? I'm not a military guy like yourself. I'm not a veteran. I'm not a civilian, but I have so much respect for the men and women that serve the country. So for me, I'm always enamored when I get a chance to talk to so many of these Medal of Honor recipients, Green Berets, Black Hawk pilots. Like, to me, I'm like a little kid when I get to talk to these guys. Yeah. So that's the best part of doing this is I got a chance to go to the Medal of Honor convention this year. They invited me to come out there. I'm hanging out with Michael Thornton and you know, all these guys. It's just to do things like that. I'm more taken back by that than I am going to the Super Bowl, talking with Tom Brady and talking with them NFL players. So to me, it's definitely a special place in my heart.
Well, Dan, you're doing an amazing job, brother. I remember we were talking about it before in 2019. I think you're on Fox and Friends for Father's Day.
Yeah.
And I remember we're sitting there and I turned to my wife and I'm like, I know that guy. I know Alec. And she's like, shut the you do not know that. I was like, I know him. He's on Fox and Friends.
And then I've been fortunate to have Pete come on my show about a year later. Pete came on, Sean Hannity came on the show, and a lot of the guys from Fox now have been on. So it's been a great journey. I've been very blessed to have these guys on.
Well, again, Alec Lace from First Class Fatherhood. If you don't listen to the podcast, you need to listen to it. A great, great show. Everything's going to be linked up in the show notes. Brother, any final words of wisdom from you?
I mean, listen, I would just say this. A lot of people have asked me, how do you get these guests? How did you get to the Super Bowl? How did you get to the White House? How did you get all these things? And by the biggest and the best piece of advice I could give would be I would take something from scripture, and I would say from Mark 11:24, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And so if you listen to that and focus on that for a little bit, you'll be surprised at the results.
I talk a lot about law of attraction, brother, and I think that sounds like law of attraction, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of that in there, Pat. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Yeah, a lot of that coincides. All of it is all the same message, really, just being told in different ways.
Yeah. Well, amazing having you back on the show, brother. Much success to you. Continued success with First Class Fatherhood. I'd love to have you back on down the road, brother. And if you need anything, you know where to find me.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Pat. Thanks for having me back on the show. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.